Welcome to Marketing Wins, How Real Brands Move Forward. I'm Valerie Morris, and on each episode, we dive into real topics with real people about how they're getting their next little or big win in marketing. If you're new to the show, go ahead and hit subscribe on whatever podcast player you are listening to right now. That way, you will not miss a single episode of Marketing Wins. Hey there, today we are talking all about the first main bucket in the Superfan framework that we have developed here at Tintera Creative. And this first bucket is one that feels so obvious once you start talking about it. And so don't feel sad if you've kind of missed the boat on some of this. We can all do better. And I really do mean that. I can do better at this first bucket, even though I'm intentional about it. My clients can do better about it. And a lot of the prospects that we talk to, honestly, are missing out on this. And so this first bucket is really focused on just engaging or re-engaging your existing fans. That is so incredibly important. So like you think about like your favorite sports team or your friend or your spouse's favorite sports team. If they didn't give you the warm and fuzzies and made you feel like they appreciated the fact that you're a fan, you probably wouldn't want to be a fan of their team anymore. They would probably start deterring people, or maybe they'd even forget that you guys are out playing games, winning games. So let's bring this to the business front. You need to be re-engaging your existing network. This is a great place to start. So today, Emily and I are going to be talking about this topic of just engaging your existing network, because this is a great spot to focus your efforts. The nice part about focusing on this bucket is you already have the audience, right? We've already got some people to talk to. So Emily, what are you seeing in terms of like, do you feel like a lot of people are thinking about engaging their current network strategically, or do you feel like a lot of people are kind of ignoring it?
Yeah, I mean, I think ignoring it for sure. I think that that is kind of sadly what I see a lot of the time, just with people who are, even if they're growing, just in some ways, they might be growing in some ways, but then they're missing out on like a huge part of what could be their strategy. I don't know. I just kept on thinking of this one story, and I'm going to share it really quick. But I've mentioned, you know, with you, just the parallel with the sports theme with like the music industry and just fans at concerts and stuff. So in college, I had this one band that I absolutely loved. I was a groupie. I followed them wherever they would go play concerts. And then they got really popular, and I would always meet with them after and like talk with them after their concert and all that, right? For, you know, when they weren't very popular. And I remember one time I went up to them after a concert and they just totally ignored me. And they were like, and I had been going all over, like to Dallas, to, you know, all like Memphis, other places. And they remembered me, but they just turned their nose up at me. And at that point they were really famous, and I get it. Like, you can't talk to all your fans. It gets really overwhelming. But it like sat the wrong way with me. It was like, oh, I'm not appreciated as a fan. I get it. Like all that. I'm not really that butthurt. Like, that was a college thing and it was fun and all of that. But it really reminds me of just like, how do we nurture our current fans or people who have been there since the beginning? And a lot of people are just like trying to grow and trying to just push forward and get more views and more whatever it may be, but you have people who already feel like they're a part of what you have going on. And how are you nurturing that? Because those people are going to go out and say, oh my gosh, you should listen to these people, or you should try this product. I've been using it for years. And you're missing out. Like, that is work that you've put in since the beginning going down the drain whenever you disengage with your current fan base. So I don't know. That was like my first story that I thought of. I was like, I've been a fan member who's been disengaged and unappreciated. They don't owe me anything, but I had something that I could offer them, I think, just as a, in a little small level. You know, I don't listen to their music anymore.
Oh, they lost a fan. Well, I think that's so true. And, you know, you think about like a big popular musician, that's one thing. But like you think about like the dentist down the street.
Right.
Where, let's be honest, like most towns, there's plenty of dentist options. Like, how are people going to remember that? I mean, sometimes I can't even remember who my dentist is. Now, part of that's because I've got two toddlers and like remembering some of those details is just not part of my, you know, mental energy right now. But the fact that I get emails from my dentist every few weeks talking about new things that are going on in their practice, reminding me about different things of like when to take my little kids in for their first appointment and things like that. All of those touch points are so important because one, it reminds me, the most important perhaps, is that they're still in business,
right?
Like so many people, if you're not engaging with past customers, the world changes so fast. Like people might be like, well, maybe they're not in business anymore. I haven't heard from them in years.
Right.
You know? And then also it reminds me like, oh yeah, like I'm already set up with them. I don't have to fill out new patient paperwork. I don't have to do the whole thing. I can get in to get my dentist appointment. And so, I mean, it's a very widely known fact that getting business from past or current clients or customers is so much easier than trying to acquire a new customer. So you really have to focus on starting with your existing network. And I think a lot of people from a marketing standpoint, they just kind of forget about their existing network.
Yeah.
And they don't realize what a goldmine they're sitting on.
Yeah. And dentistry is one thing. And that's like a really good example. Cause I mean, I forget who my dentist is too. I should probably be going more often than that. But like there's other services like HVAC services where you're not going to call on them every year. Like, hopefully you won't, but you might have to in 5 years. And if they haven't engaged with you, are you going to remember who they are? I wouldn't remember who they are, but like, if they're not keeping up with, you know, keeping those touch points, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be every week, but intentionally going after those current past clients, odds are they're going to have a friend that needs help and they're going to know that you had to use HVAC services or they're going to need it in the future. And you don't want them to go to someone else.
Yeah. It's all about staying top of mind with these people because I mean, you think about HVAC, you may not need a new furnace for a while, but when you do have issues, you want to make sure like, you know, oh my gosh, like, yes, my company is top of mind for these people. But we all know how many times neighbors, Facebook groups, next door groups, you're at a barbecue and someone's talking about something, you could be like, oh my gosh, yes, I had a great experience with so-and-so. You want to turn your existing network into future jobs because maybe they moved to a new house. Maybe it's time to upgrade to something else. Or like you said, they have referrals and they can become that super fan for you. And that's like, but you already have this pool. Like a lot of people forget that they already have a network that they can be engaging. And a lot of people are so focused on, I need to get the next new client, the next new customer that I can have a fresh start with maybe. Well, great, but you're going to be working that much harder because you have to build trust with those people. Whereas right now you already have trust with all of those people that you worked with in the past. So you might as well capitalize on that. Focus your efforts. And so that's where marketing comes into play, where within the super fan framework, we kind of focus on nurturing existing network, right? Building new people, like bringing new people into the fold, and then also doing marketing efforts to build super fans and building your network that's going to provide referrals for you. And so if you don't have marketing activities in those three buckets, it might be okay depending upon your strategy, but for the most part, most companies, if they want to grow, need to have activities in each of those three. And if you're top heavy on just one, you're missing out. And so that's why, like, a lot of people, they kind of forget that, like, an easy place to start is just engaging your current network, reminding them that you're there, reminding them what you do, and then reminding them how that you can be referred out. And you can do that in so many different ways. But that's where, like, I mean, we have people come to us all the time. They come to us a lot of times asking for help with social media. We love doing it, right? But after a while, they're like, I mean, is social media really worth it? Like, do I really need to show up on social media? And I'll just tell you that, like, I go look at businesses on social media. I go look for reviews and I go look for their phone number and their information. And if I have seen that the last post they did was from like 4 years ago, I'm probably not going to call them. Because I don't think that they're actually open, you know? They just forgot to take their Facebook page down. They closed their doors, but they didn't take anything down. So a lot of times people are out lurking and you have to walk the walk with your network. And also a lot of people will lurk and they will see your content on social media, but a lot of people don't like to hit like on posts. You know, nowadays, a lot of people are a little scared to show endorsement of certain things. They don't want to admit that they like or agree with a certain perspective because they're afraid that someone's going to slam them for having an opinion on that, or, you know, they don't want to admit that they need, you know, like I'm over the hill now. So I'm starting to like research stuff around perimenopause and all this, you know, like if I was going through symptoms actively, like I would probably be a little bit nervous to like click like on something for like hormone replacement therapy. Like there's just sensitive topics. There's just some things that I think our culture has been programmed to not want to engage, but people are watching. So you have to have, you have to keep the lights on publicly to show your network that yes, we are around. And if you've built up a social media following in any capacity, like just to abandon it and let it sit dormant is perhaps one of the hardest things to overcome. Because it just it makes your company look like you've closed your doors.
And you can always work, like we've had, I'm going to say this first. We've had people come to us with no social media baseline. And they're like, I want to run ads. I want to run Facebook ads. I want to do this, this, and this. And then we look at their page and we're like, wait a second. You, are your lights even on? I mean, we know they are. But you don't look like you're actually, you know, running still. And so like, yes, ads are great. You can do a lot by just starting to do iterative posting and then start growing and doing more things like, you know, ads where your eyes are being laid on from different networks that you weren't originally connected with. That's great. But some people, they don't see that baseline being important. And you can see that, like, even if people don't like your post, it might have 1,000 eyes that have already laid on that post, but it doesn't look flashy. It's not going viral. So you're like, oh, is this actually, you know, and that's just one of the many ways. And there is this misconception. It's like, oh, I need to go viral for me to be successful online or for it to even be worth it or XYZ. But social media is just one of the many ways that we can show up and we can nurture current fans. And I mean, we've talked about email marketing. You know, there's different buckets in Facebook. It's not just like being on Facebook, check, right? We've talked about Facebook groups before, how important those are. And there's so many different tools within social media that can be really important. Podcasting is another way to be like nurturing your current base. Valerie, what are spitball some more? Those are the first ones that come to mind. Depends on your industry, right?
It totally does. Like, and I think what's important is this is where data is so important and like making sure you're gathering the right data from your customers from the start. But Yeah, so many people. I talked to a prospect just last week who's been in her industry for over 10 years, and she's never reached out to a past client ever.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, there's so many different spaces where it's like, just because they worked with you once, you finished a project, they could be that repeat customer, right? Like, and so
we've had those.
Oh yeah, we definitely have. And that's where things like social media, and I think social media especially, I like to say LinkedIn is perhaps one of the best places to be focusing on nurturing your past customers or clients. And that's one that a lot of people forget about. And it's a place that honestly feels very organic still. Feels very natural the way people are showing up there. And if that ever changes, it's going to be really sad because I don't know where we're all going to go. But LinkedIn is one of those where you can really be re-engaging with your past clients, past customers. Email is an easy one. Most people have email, and it's a great way. People say email is dead, but it's still one of the best places to show up from a marketing perspective. Reviews is another big space.
Yeah.
So let's say you're not doing a lot of like flashy stuff. At the very least, like engage your past customers for a review, because that's going to help you look legitimate. You know, people go and look at Google reviews all the time. And if your last review was from a few years ago or a few months ago, depending upon the industry and how fast your client turnover or, you know, client traffic is in your door, you might need new reviews every week in order to look legitimate. Mm. Like a restaurant, if you haven't gotten a new review in weeks, like people are going to be like, I think they're closed. Whereas like if you're an HVAC company, you can probably get away with, you know, a couple months between reviews. Not ideal, but you could get away with it. And then I think one of the other things is like people forget about traditional means of re-engagement.
Yep.
Picking up the phone. How much, like what a cool way to stand out in this, in the world today, by just picking up the phone on somebody's birthday. Again, going back to the data, getting your past client's birthday and picking up the phone and calling them. And even if you get a voicemail, just saying, hey, this is Valerie. I'm just calling to wish you a happy birthday today.
Yeah.
It's a great touch point, right? Like if people forget about those simple things, a thank you note, a Christmas card, you know, realtors are really good at some of these things with more traditional methods. So it's not just about showing up great online. Obviously that's a place that we shine and that our clients shine, but it's all about just the concept of, does your marketing strategy have a focus on tapping into the people who already know, like, and trust you?
Right.
If you're not doing that, like, now's the best time to start, right? Like, the best time to start would have been 20 years ago. Next best time is today. So, yeah, that's.
And I want to add to just like, I see, even with sometimes our clients, they are kind of like, they have us doing social media newsletter. And then I'm like on my monthly call with them and they said, oh yeah, I just went to an expo and, you know, handed out free products. And I'm like, oh great. Did you get their email? Did you get, you know, do you know how to reconnect with these people? XYZ. Oh no, they know our name though. And I'm like, oh man, I wish you would have told me, because I would have loved to be able to add those people to a newsletter, a segmented newsletter where we could have strategically reached out in a personal way, connecting on whatever expo that was. And yeah, so it's a whole team effort. It's a big picture. And the client experience is like goes in circles as far as there might be a real life interaction, but where do they go from there? They need to have an invitation into, you know, what can keep them engaged. And then hopefully there's going to be that, you know, real real life interaction again in the future, but they can keep on going back to where they kind of land when it comes to your business. And yeah, it's going back to the framework. It's a team sport. It's like, doesn't just take one side, like sales doesn't need to be in their closed box. You know, business development doesn't need to be in their closed box. Marketing doesn't need to be in its closed box. There's so many strategic, creative ways. And a lot of times we miss it and we don't see those opportunities. And so that's like, hate to harp on our framework that is just the silly metaphor, but it really is cool how it's like, we can all work together to creatively think of strategies that are going to just nurture your current fans and reinforce that loyalty. So,
the way we approach working with our clients and focusing on these three kind of buckets of types of fans is, I think it's been so powerful for clients because they're covering their bases. And most importantly, they know why they're doing mm-hmm. certain activities. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to be running these ads for whatever. It's like, no, you know exactly why you're doing them and what the intended goal is. And when it's met that certain, it's satisfied that need, you might switch the strategy. It's not that you have to do the one thing forever. It's really focused on doing things, doing the right kinds of things for the right reasons and knowing why you're doing them versus just making an emotional decision, which is perhaps one of the hardest things, is not making the emotional decisions. And so focusing on these three frameworks or these three buckets within the framework, I've just seen it be so powerful for people. And one of the best places to start is really just re-engaging your network. So if you take nothing else from today's conversation, we hope you walk away with understanding the power that you already have, the goldmine you already have within your database. You have customers that you could be engaging for more future projects or future transactions, and or to become a super fan to help send your message out to the world and be an advocate, be an evangelist for your brand without you having to do anything more.
If you're new to the show, go ahead and hit subscribe on whatever podcast player you are listening to right now. That way you will not miss a single episode of Marketing Wins.